Song is 667, if I remember correctly. 667 has been announced as our song of invitation and encouragement. At the conclusion of our lesson this morning, we will be singing that song, and if you need to respond to the Lord, we trust that you'll do that before it's everlasting and eternally too late. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, the church that you can read about in the New Testament, the Church of Christ, we want to encourage you to think seriously about your soul's salvation. Jesus came and died upon the cross and purchased the church with his own blood. And there is just one church. If we're going to please God, we must be a member of that one church and live our lives faithfully unto death. That's the vehicle that God has put in place for us to be a part of, to usher us into heaven. So don't turn the church down. Become a member of the body of Christ and be saved. So if you need to come, we would encourage you to come today. We want to continue our series of studies. If you recall, we began last week on a series of studies, a month-long series of studies, on giving. Giving being a part of worship. Then I think it's good from time to time that we take a look at giving as well as other parts of worship, and we'll be doing that perhaps. But in our first lesson on last week, I talked about having the right attitude in giving. I started with attitude because it is that prevailing thought, that is the attitude, that will be carried throughout the rest of these lessons that I'll be sharing with you. I firmly believe that without having the right attitude, then the thoughts that I share with you in these lessons will really not become a part of our spiritual makeup. It is the attitude that God is concerned about. We must always remember what Jesus says when he talks about worship in John chapter 4 and verse 24, that God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So our attitude's got to be right as we couple it or combine it with the truth of God's word. And the Bible instructs us as to what God expects of us. We're not left to our own reasoning ability to decide what and how God wants us to worship him. Since we are the creature and he is the creator, then he and he alone directs us in the way to please him. Listen to the words of Jeremiah and the words of David. I'll read them as they perhaps will show up there. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, the prophet of old said, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in our reasoning capability and ability to direct our own way. And he goes on in the next sentence and says, go back to Jeremiah chapter 20. There we go. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. We can't direct our steps in the way that God wants us to go, because we are the creature and he's the creator. How is it that we can get in the mind of God and figure out what he wants us to do if he doesn't tell us? We've got to listen to God. And then when we listen to God, then of course we must obey God, because it is God that directs our steps. And if we want to be good and righteous in the sight of God, then we've got, again, as I've said, listen to God. Now David says in Psalms 37 and verse number 23, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. God is the one that orders the step of a good man. Now, if you want to be a bad man or a bad person, then just continue to direct your own steps. But you'll never please God. I'll never please God like that. If I want to be what God wants me to be, then I must allow God to order or direct my steps. So if I want to please God in my worship, then I must allow God to teach me what I need to do and how I need to do it to worship Him. As we talk about giving then, if we want to please God in our giving, then we must allow God to teach us what we're to do and how we're to do in our giving. It's a part of worship. And if we're going to worship Him in spirit and in truth, then we must listen to God. So I beg all of us then this morning to allow the Lord to direct our steps or to order us as to the why we should give. Why should we give? Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, that every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Several things I want to discuss with us this morning from the Word of God that should impress upon our minds why we should yield. Number one, we should give because God wants us to conform to Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God wants us to conform or be conformed to the image of his Son. We all know what an image is. It is a likeness of something. God wants us to be like Christ. That's God's plan. That's God's will for us. That's God's expectation of us. He wants us to conform to Christ's image. And when we look at Christ, we will see that Christ was a giver. He was a giver. Yes. Number one, he gave up his home in heaven. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And the next verse says this, who being in the form of God, thought or counted it not to be robbery, to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. God, or rather Christ, gave up his home in heaven. He was a giver. He gave up his home in heaven. And not only did he give up his home in heaven, but we also learn from the Word of God that Christ gave his allegiance to the Father. He gave his allegiance to the Father. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 5 through 7. Look at what it says. The Bible says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he's talking about Christ. When he cometh into the world, he says, sacrifice an offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. And the next passage says this, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast no pleasure. And verse number 7 says this, then said I, this is Christ talking, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Christ says, I came to do God's will. What did God send Christ here to do? What did his will involve? It involved Christ giving his life. He was willing to give his life. He gave his allegiance to the Father. You remember when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, being a man in the flesh, being human. He didn't want to face the cross. But his spiritual makeup took over, and he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Why did he say that? Because it had already been written that he had come to do God's will. So he had to go back and pick up his spiritual nature, if you will, and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And when you go back, and we won't go there this morning, but make a note of this. When you go back to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, you'll see that passage that the Hebrew writer was inspired to write was referring to. All the way back in the Old Testament, before Jesus came to earth, it had already been written that he was coming in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. So it's already been ordained for me to do my Father's will. So I got to let my flesh go. I got to pick up on my spiritual nature and say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Christ was a giver. And when he died on the cross, of course, as the scripture says, he gave his life as a ransom for many. Acts chapter 20, or rather Matthew chapter 20, and verse number 28, he gave his life a ransom for many. Well, how is that going to make us like God? How is that going to make us like Christ when it comes to giving our money? Well, Christ is our example. Bible says he suffered for us and he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. Romans chapter 12 tells us that we don't have to worry now about giving our life, that is, as a dead sacrifice, but we're to give our lives as a living sacrifice. And part of the living sacrifice involves giving. It involves everything that God wants us to do to please him. It involves loving you as I ought. It involves your loving me as you ought. It involves everything that God wants us to do. That's the living sacrifice. And when we do what God wants us to do, we are giving ourselves to God just like Christ was a giver. That's why the Macedonian Christians didn't have a problem with giving. That's why they were, if you will, such liberal givers, because they made a living sacrifice. Listen to what the Bible, look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 5. The Bible says this, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their what? Own selves. That's the living sacrifice. They gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And when we then give like Christ gave, not ourselves as a dead sacrifice, because that wouldn't do any good anyway. We can't die for our own sins. Jesus has already taken care of that. Now he wants us to devote our life to him in giving, giving of ourselves, and certainly giving of our monies. So how then does that make us like God? Well, if we are like Christ, then that automatically makes us like God. Why? Because Christ is the image of God. So if we are made in the image of Christ, then it automatically makes us in the image of God. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. The Bible says this, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Next verse, please. whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And then the next verse says this, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Jesus Christ is the express image of the person of God. And that's why when Philip asked the question in John chapter, I made the statement rather, in John chapter 14, he says, show us the Father. Jesus says, how long have I been with you? And now you ask me, show us the Father. He says, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so the book of Hebrews says Christ is the express image of the Father. So when we've seen Christ, and we haven't seen him, but he was talking to Philip during that day and time. When Philip had seen Christ, then he had seen the Father. When we conform to the image of Christ, then we automatically conform to the image of God. And therefore, Christ was a giver. God was a giver. We know the Bible says, for God so loved the world, that he did what? Gave his only begotten Son. Christ was a giver. God was a giver. We conform to Christ. Then we automatically are made, or we automatically are in the image of God. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us, again, going back to the very first verse that we studied in this context, Romans 8:29, it has already been in the mind of God, even before we were created, that he was going to create some people, or a people, and his purpose was, his eternal purpose, was for those people that he created to conform to the image of his Son. So we ought to give because God wants us to be like Christ. Christ was a giver. He wants us to be a giver. Number two, we ought to give because the passage that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we find that that is a command to give. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. He says, I have given order. Paul didn't give order of himself. The order that he gave came from God. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. If we want to be a good person in our giving, then we again got to allow God to order our steps. So Paul says, concerning the collections for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, he says, lay by in store. So it is a command that we give. So if for no other reason, we should give to obey the command. Why? Because commands, or obedience to commands, I should say, is necessary for us to go to heaven. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 14, the Bible says, blessed are they that do his commandments. And we know what the commandments are. Whatever Jesus tells us to do, that's what the commandments are. Blessed are they that do what Jesus said, that they may have a what? Right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So what does that tell me? That tells me that if I don't do what Jesus say, I will not enter in through the gates into the city. Now, do we all want to enter in through the gates of the city? Yes, I'm sure we do. So that tells me then that we're going to have to do what Jesus said. And one of the things that Jesus say when it comes to worship is that we are to give. So he says, Paul says, I have given order. And Paul got his orders from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit got his orders from Christ. Christ got his orders from God. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So we have an order. We have a command then to give. One of his commands then again is to give. So we can't do everything else and leave out giving and think we're going to heaven. It's not going to work. We're going to have to give. In my next lesson, Be God's Will, I'm going to be talking about how we should give. I'm talking about why today. But I'm going to talk about how we should give. So we not only should do what he says, but we got to do it like he says. But I'll cover that in the next lesson. So then,
We then must obey the command if we want to go to heaven.
Jesus says, Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Hebrews 5, verse 89, the Bible says, though he was a son, yet learning obedience by the things he suffered, being then made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. And we won't obey Christ, not in full, unless we yield, as he's taught us to yield. So if we want to go to heaven then, we got to obey the command. It is necessary then that we be educated, if you will, on God's steps of giving, or God's order to give. So secondly then, we should give because we are commanded to give. And then thirdly, we should give to prove the sincerity of our love. Look at what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7 through 9. Look at what it says. The Bible says, therefore, as ye abound, Paul is writing to the Corinthians Christians on the subject of giving, this contribution that was being taken out. He said, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. He said, you're doing pretty good in these other things. Utterance, knowledge, diligence. You're even loving us. That's fine. Keep on doing that. But he says, see that you abound in this grace also. And this grace he's talking about is the grace of giving. And the next verse says this. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the ferventness of others. And to do what? Prove the sincerity of your love. Do you see attitude right here? Our attitude's got to be right. If we say we love, then we got to really mean that we love. So he says, we need to then abound in the grace of giving to prove the sincerity of our love. And this is the acid test, talking about the sincerity of our love. This is the acid test of our genuine love for the Lord. The acid test is to do what the Lord say. You see, Brother Willie always would say, what talk is what? Cheap. Anybody can talk a good game. Talk is cheap. But when we think about what the Lord did for us. One more verse, verse 9. Look at what it says here. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was what? Rich. Yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. That's talking about the grace of Jesus Christ that came, hung, bled, and died on the cross for your sin and mine, that gave up his home in heaven, came down to the sin-cursed earth, walked and toiled in tabernacle among sinful men, but he himself did no sin, but yet they killed him, the Bible says, and hung him on a tree. He did all of that just for us. And the thing about it is he didn't have to do it. That's what grace is all about. Grace is something that we get that we don't deserve. We didn't deserve for him to do all of that. So when he says, now, you know, you see what Jesus did for us, or did for you, then that ought to just motivate you to abound in this grace of giving. How can we, if we really love the Lord, or rather, how can we, if we really understand what he did for us, not love the Lord? And if we truly love the Lord, then we're willing to do what he said. Isn't that what he says in John chapter 14 and verse number 15? Look at what the Bible says. He says, if you love me, if you genuinely love me, not if you say. He didn't say if you say you love me. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And one of his commands, Paul says, I give him what? Order that you lay by in store. I've given order that you give. I've commanded you to give. Now, Jesus says, if you really love me, then you're going to give. Verse number 23, he says, if there's any doubt about what Jesus meant here, in verse 23, Jesus, the Bible says, answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. If we really love the Lord, then we will give as we prosper and purpose in our heart. And we'll be glad to do it because, again, we realize what he's done for us. How can we not love a Lord that did what he did for us when he didn't have to do it? No wonder, no wonder, no wonder. In New Testament, in the first century, there were Christians that were even willing to give their lives for the cause of Christ because they realized what he had done for them. So to give, then, is to prove the sincerity of our love. And then lastly this morning, we should give so that others may be blessed. You see, it's not all about us. It's about other folks. We should give so that others may be blessed. As a matter of fact, that was the real purpose behind the contribution in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. A contribution was being taken up for the saints, and more specifically, for the poor saints of Jerusalem. There had been a famine in Jerusalem. And Paul had the task, if you will, of encouraging Christians to yield to help out their sisters and brothers who were struggling because of the famine. He wanted them to give so that they could bless these Christians in those lands. So this example then of biblical giving is used, as other scriptures that we could cite also, is used for the work of the church. The church's work is to edify. The church's work is to evangelize. The church's work is to be involved in benevolence. Edification simply means for the building up of one another of the church. Evangelism simply means to preach the gospel and teach the gospel to the lost. Benevolence means to help those that are in need. All of those are the work of the church. And all of those things take money. Doesn't take talk. Talk is involved in it all, but that's it takes more than talk. It takes money to do that. And the Lord knows it takes money, and that's why he gave the order. It takes money to build up one another. I know you can encourage one another, but sometimes you got to spend some money to build one another up. Takes money to evangelize, to preach the gospel, to teach the gospel. Sometimes people say, well, you know, why are we going to pay the preacher? Paul says he had a right to be paid. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, those that preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now, he wasn't talking about living just eating the books. You know, I can't go to Kroger with the book. And they give me what I need. Or any other preacher what they need. They say, we want some money. Now, I'm not preaching for me to be paid. I thank God that I do get a salary. But the point is, sometimes people have a problem with that. You know, paying preachers. And paying them well. You know, they want to drive a Cadillac, but they want the preacher to drive a what?
Pinto.
Well, I better leave that alone since y'all think I'm preaching for me at this point. But I'm just making a point that it takes money to do the Lord's will in all of these areas, edification, evangelism, and benevolence. So we have an order from the Lord to give. And so we give so that others can be blessed. Since God has blessed us, then we ought to be willing to bless somebody else. Is there anything that we have that we didn't receive? And if we received it, you know why we received it? Because God allowed us to. Because after all, he owns everything. Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom we have no variable of this, neither shadow of turning. So God owns it all. He just allows us to use some of it. And we ought to be good stewards of what he allows us to use. You know, in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look at what Paul says over there. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of being above that which is written. And the passage continues to read, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. That was some puffed up people in the church of Corinth. We talked about them a little bit in this morning Bible class lesson. They were puffed up against one another. In particular, one of the reasons that they were puffed up against one another is because they had various gifts, spiritual gifts. And one thought their gift was better than the other gifts, and so they were puffed up. But Paul wanted to teach them a lesson about that. And the next passage says this, for who maketh thee to differ from one another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, then why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? Now, the principle of what that this is in another context, but the principle that I'm go back to that passage again. The principle that I want to get us to get from this is that when he says here, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Have we always had what we had? We had to get it from somewhere, didn't we? How was we able to get it? God. So if God has blessed us so richly with whatever, and we may say we got a little, whatever little we have, he blessed us with it. We may say we have a much, whatever much we have, he blessed us with it. Whatever we have, God blessed us with it. And he blessed us with it so that we wouldn't just consume it on our own selves, but to also help somebody else. And in order to help somebody else, particularly when it comes from a congregational standpoint, Paul says, I'm giving you an order to give so that you can help somebody else to be blessed. And you know what? God blesses people physically through other people. God blessed us to get and to have whatever we have. But you know how he does that? Through other folks. The job that you work on. Somebody gave you the job, didn't they? That's God blessing us through other folks. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 be the last scripture, and then we're going to close. Look at what the Bible says. He says, yield, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall who? Men. That's God blessing us through men or through people. Shall men give unto you your bosom? For with the same measure, he says, that you meet, with all this shall be measured to you again. My point is, God blesses us when it comes to a physical standpoint, of the things we have and that kind of thing, God blesses us through other people. So if God blesses us, so if we got what we got because of somebody else, then shouldn't we share what we have so somebody else can be blessed too? God uses folk to bless folks with. Again, it all comes from God, but it comes through people. So let's not then be selfish then with what God has blessed us with. So let's give then as God has directed for us to give. May we then be a people that have the right attitude in our giving, because, again, it's a command of God. And since he commanded us, then let us obey his command so that it'll be well with our souls. Isn't that what he said to his people of old? He says, these statutes, these laws, these judgments, I'm giving it to you that it may be well with thee. In other words, if you obey what I tell you, Israel, it'll be well with you. If we obey what God tells us today, it'll be well with us. And one of the things God tells us in his word, when it comes to our worship, that we're to give. So let us be a people then that give. Let us not be a selfish people. Let us give. Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be like his son, Jesus Christ. He was a giver. He has commanded us to give. And in order to go to heaven, we're going to have to keep his command. He wants us to give. Let us be a people that give. Again, when we think about God giving us, he gave us his son to die for our sins. Aren't you glad that Jesus came and died for your sins and for my sins? Because if he had not died for our sins, we wouldn't have any hope. But because he died, we now have hope based upon the fact or the condition that we obey him. Have you obeyed the Lord? Are you a member of his body, the church, that I talked about earlier that all people got to be a member of and a faithful member in order to go to heaven? If you're not, I encourage you this morning to become a member. How do you become a member? The Bible says, hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9 and 10. And then be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to the one church, the church of Christ. Be faithful in that church unto death. And Jesus says, I'll give you a crown of life. Will you come this morning then if you're not a member? Or perhaps you're already a member, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of God. You have stopped letting God order your steps. And specifically to this lesson this morning, if you know you're not giving like you ought to be giving, if you want to go to heaven, you need to repent and start giving as God has directed you. Or if you're doing something else that's contrary to the will of God, turn away from it. And if you need to confess before us this morning, do that. Or perhaps you just need prayer. Whatever your need is, we're going to beg you to come right now while we're standing, while we're singing.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you, O evil, a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Will you come? Will you come?
There is power,
there's power in the blood. Will you come?
Power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
Of the Lamb.
There is power, wonder-working power in the prayer.